You're listening to the official podcast of the New England Patriots. Welcome back to our weekly segment of the Roster Report. Hi, I'm Lori Bransky coming to you straight from Gillette Stadium today on Friday, February 17th, which means we have the latest Roster Report, including where the best kicker in the league, Adam Vinatieri, stands. So let's listen to it now with Patriots Football Weekly's Paul Perillo and PVN's Brian Lowe.
Thank you very much, Laurie. Brian Lowe here along with Paul Perillo. Quite the duo for today's podcast on this Friday. We are talking about the Patriots roster, and not a whole lot has happened since last week's roster, as expected. It's kind of a quiet time as we get ready for free agency. But, Paul, we are right in the middle of the two-week period for teams to designate franchise players. And as we know, this Patriots team has one specific player, Adam Vinatieri, who was franchised last year. Will he be franchised again? We have 6 days to find out. What do you think?
No, I don't know. I mean, it's a great question. Franchise, transition, you know, the exclusive franchise, there's a lot of different lists, and Brian's going to kind of go over those in a second just to kind of explain to everybody what they all mean. But, yeah, don't know for sure if it's I think Vinatieri is probably the most likely candidate out of all of the Patriots' 16 unrestricted free agents right now to get that designation. But, you know, we've had some talk about David Givens as well, and maybe if they're not quite sure exactly where they see Givens in the future, maybe they take a chance. I don't see that happening. I think it's too much money. You're talking about $6+ million, for the 1 year, for the 1 year tender. I don't see that happening, but Vinatieri is a possibility. Why don't you run down the tag? Oh, and we probably should say this is a roster rundown, right? Roster report.
Yes.
There is one addition to the roster.
There is. Moments after you guys concluded the roster report last Friday, Zuriel Smith, the wide receiver, he's played for the Cowboys and Giants. I don't believe he ever got into a game with the Giants, but he was with them.
9 career receptions with the Cowboys, a little bit of return work, former seventh round pick in 2003. Mm-hmm. Obviously a very low-level signing, but this is the Patriots podcast roster roster report, so he's in addition to the roster since our last podcast.
Right, and it is interesting because the wide receiver position is the position where the team only has two guys. If you include Bam Childress, Michael McGrew, guys like that, but really Deion Branch and Bethel Johnson are the only two wide receivers with any experience who are on the roster.
Who knows about Bethel Johnson?
And who knows about Bethel Johnson. So real quick, just to give you a background and some information on exactly what a franchise player is. Every team is allowed to name one franchise player, and that label must remain with that player until his contract expires or until he is released. He'll be paid at least the average of the top five highest paid players at his position. So in other words, if you are designated a franchise player, you take the five highest paid players at that position, take the average, and that is what that position has to be. If that player is already the highest paid player at his position or already above that average, he must be paid 120% of what he got paid last year. In the case of Adam Vinatieri, that would be around $3 million.
Right.
Because at the franchise tag that they had him at last year, he was getting paid about $2.5 million. Because he was, and that is the highest paid, obviously, for a kicker. So he'd be that plus 20%. So he'd be at about $3 million. A lot for a kicker, but when you think about what Adam Vinatieri brings and how reliable he is and how Bill Belichick could go into a season with Adam Vinatieri and know that position is all taken care of, $3 million might not be seen as that bad.
Yeah, and I understand that. Now, my number one thing here, and, you know, Brian's going to continue with the definitions as well. My number one thing with Adam is I think that he has earned the right to not have to worry year to year, you know, about his salary. I think that he has earned the right to a long-term deal. I'm not saying that you give him an 8-year deal for, you know, however many millions of dollars, but I think the Patriots can work it to their benefit as well, because I don't think you need to have a $3 million cap hit for your kicker. I think you can get him done long-term for less than that on the cap.
Right, and that's part of the definition is when we talk about this $3 million that Vinatieri would be tagged at, that's a 1-year deal, $3 million guaranteed for this season. So the player doesn't get any signing bonus per se, but he's going to get that money. And when you're talking about some of these positions like defensive end, quarterback, where that 1-year contract is somewhere like $8 or $9 million, that's where teams really have a decision, because on the one hand, they know that they're going to have this guy for the 1 year. There won't be any lingering cap ramifications, but that's a lot of money on the cap for one guy. Just real quick on the franchise player, if that player signs that offer, that 1-year tender, if he signs the tender, he'll make that money. If when you're designated, it's guaranteed. When you're designated a franchise player, you're still a free agent. Other teams can offer you a contract, sign you to an offer sheet. Your original team then has 7 days to match that. And if the original team does not match that, the original team gets 2 first-round draft picks, one each in the next 2 years. So it's obviously significant compensation. It's rare for that to happen.
Now let me ask you this question, Brian. If in the event the Patriots were to franchise Adam Vinatieri, mm-hmm. there are teams out there that badly need a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Cowboys.
One Bill Parcells
being,
in Dallas.
You know, any possibility that someone signs him to an offer sheet and says, I'll give you 2 first-round picks for him.
On day one.
No, I'm talking about if he's a franchise player.
Oh, no. No. No team is going to give up two picks for him.
I agree.
If he's a franchise, exactly. If that's why if the Patriots do and in 2002 they tagged Vinatieri as a franchise player, but they subsequently came to an agreement on a 2-year contract.
Correct.
So by designating someone a franchise player, it does not mean that that's it, done deal. You can still work out a long-term contract. There are still things that can happen. So that's where they stand with Vinatieri. That's the decision.
Basically, what
make.
You do and all the legal mumbo jumbo that Brian just talked about, when you designate the franchise player, it basically scares away the other teams from trying to sign the guy because there aren't very many players out there that another team is going to deem worthy of surrendering 2 first-round picks.
Correct.
In addition, you know, to a pretty hefty sum that it's going to take to get an offer sheet for the guy to sign in the first place.
That did happen. Now, it's happened really only once, I believe, that a team did end up giving the 2 first-round picks. When did that happen?
I'm not aware of that.
Didn't that happen a couple years ago?
I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I'm not. I can't.
What?
Remember.
You know what? Wasn't it the Redskins and defensive linemen? I forget who it was, but it's very rare.
Big Daddy?
I don't think it was Big Daddy, but it's very rare. Now, the other possibility, teams can also designate up to 2 transition players, similar to the franchise, except for the fact that the 1-year tender offer is the average of top 10 players. And if a player is tagged as a transition player, gets an offer sheet from another team, and the original team does not match it, they get no compensation, as opposed to the 2 first-round picks with the franchise player. So there's the big difference between franchise and transition. Now, last year, there was a list of about a dozen players who were tagged as franchise players and 1 transition player. Among the franchise players last year, aside from Vinatieri, you had Rudy Johnson, you had Edgerrin James, you had John Abraham. Some of these guys, such as Rudy Johnson, came to terms on a long-term agreement with their teams. Others, like Edgerrin James, signed the 1-year deal and is now a free agent and has said he's probably leaving Indy. Then you got John Abraham, who it's been said in some papers today that the Jets will franchise tag him once again. Not going to make him happy because of the lack of long-term security, but someone like John Abraham would get somewhere in the, $8 to $9 million range.
That makes sense. And, you know, the one thing that kind of works to the player's advantage sometimes, and we saw this with Walter Jones, the outstanding left tackle for Seattle, if you're fortunate enough to stay healthy as a franchise player and you put yourself in a position to be tagged with that franchise label, say 2-3 consecutive years, you can end up beating the system.
Yeah.
Because you end up making a base salary of $9 million, $9 million, and $9 million.
Yeah.
Well, you probably weren't going to get much more than that.
No.
Even with a long-term deal.
Yeah.
So it's a huge risk. The players don't like it because they don't get the signing bonus and the security. But if you can stay healthy, you know, John Abraham is in a situation right now where he can probably end up getting more money by doing it this way than he would have if he had signed
Absolutely.
A long-term deal a couple of years ago.
And some of these positions, the franchise tag money is pretty high. Cornerbacks is pretty high, around $8 million, or at least it was last year and probably somewhere in that neighborhood. Quarterbacks as well, and actually offensive linemen is pretty high as well. So that is certainly, with March 3rd being the day that free agency opens for business. We are only about 2 weeks away. I think it's 2 weeks. It's about 2 weeks away. But this franchise situation is what's really looming around teams right now.
That's the problem. You know, we're talking about the roster rundown here. That's probably the number one thing on the agenda right now in terms of the Patriots, in regards to the Patriots, because before I think they, and I'm kind of surprised we haven't really seen any action yet. You know, we had Don Davis re-sign, which we talked about last week, but we haven't seen really any negotiation talk and any headway. In this next week, I think that they'll probably decide in terms of a franchise. I mean, that's the deadline is next week, and we'll hopefully have some news for on our next podcast about that. But I'm surprised that we haven't really seen anything yet, and this is what I think once we get that, other dominoes will start falling into place.
Things will happen pretty quick once they start going. So that's going to wrap up today's roster report. Now, we will be back with you next Thursday, February 23rd, which is the deadline for teams to designate franchise players, we'll be coming with you. We'll be coming to you with the podcast.
And I'm coming to you with a quiz, Brian Lowe. I'm going to quiz you on the compensation and the salary for the franchise and transition.
Next week.
And I'm going to take away a little crypt sheet.
You've got to be kidding me. Come on, I'll have to make sure there's internet access to this computer so I can check that out. So Thursday evening on Patriots.com, you will have the podcast, the roster report, and we will know, we should know, whether or not Adam Vinatieri or anyone else on the Patriots has been designated a franchise player or a transition player. Paul Perillo, alongside me, I'm Brian Lowe. That wraps up this Friday roster report. Back to Laurie.
That's all for this edition of the Roster Report. Come back next Thursday, as Brian said, to hear all the latest updates. Thanks for listening.